It's time for Good Health, an opportunity to hear from our local healthcare community about the most current medical topics and how they relate to your healthy lifestyle. Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Nick Bayerano.
Welcome to Good Health, sponsored by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I am your host, Nick Bayerano. Joining us in the studio today is registered nurse Elizabeth Spear, manager of the IV Therapy and Wound Care Department at Good Shepherd Healthcare System. If you have any questions, please give us a call at 541-567-6500. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
It's nice to be here.
So IV therapy and wound care, they seem like very different services. I guess the question I have is, do they complement each other?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of the people who come in may be coming to us for antibiotics for an infection, and that might be in a wound, and so we'll do a dressing change and do the infusion.
Okay. And do the same team members work on both patients, both sets of patients?
Yes, all of our staff have the skill to work on wounds and do infusions. Some of them have extra special skills, like being able to insert advanced lines like PICCs, midlines, or use ultrasound to start their IVs. So they are all cross-trained, but they might have different specialties.
Interesting. So I know from talking with you that you've been at Good Shepherd for some time. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I started at Good Shepherd about 7 years ago in the IV therapy and wound care unit and worked there for about 3 years before I moved into the education department. And after serving in the education department for a while, I went into surgery. So I have gained some experience in different areas and seen different applications of wound care, different types of infusions, and also teaching that when I was in education.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So it seems like a perfect fit that you're now back there managing the department.
Yeah. I had strong ties to the department and always loved working there. So
awesome.
It's a blessing for sure.
So let's talk about these services a little bit more in depth. So what exactly is IV therapy?
So IV therapy would be essentially anything intravenous. So a physician could order an infusion or an injection or something IV push, which could be pain medication or anti-nausea medication or just fluids for dehydration. It can be the antibiotics. It can be a biological, something anti-inflammatory. So people with chronic conditions like rheumatoid arthritis can come in and get their infusions, which is on a very particular schedule. So it might be for an infusion every week, and then it spreads out to every 6 weeks and so forth. So there are a lot of people who come to us for those types of things.
Okay.
Other vascular access, so even taking blood out, which you would think you wouldn't do, but there are some people who have conditions that if they don't have what we call a therapeutic phlebotomy, they're at risk for blood clots.
Wow.
So we do those sorts of things.
So it sounds like you do quite a bit of services there. Are there some services that you tend to offer more than others just because of the population that we have here, or is it kind of just based on what kind of referral that you get?
Well, I mean, it really depends on what's going on in the community, but we do a lot of general antibiotics. Our wound care is probably busier than our antibiotic services at this point, just because our specialists are they're getting more skills to do more things with wounds, and so those patients are now coming to us where they weren't able to come to us before. So the program has been building for the last couple of years as we've gained our specialist. Okay. Every time we add a specialist, we're able to take on more types of patients, and as physicians are discovering the type of care that we can provide, we're getting more referrals, and people are able to stay in town instead of having to travel as much as 45 minutes to get the same care.
Awesome. So let's talk a little bit more in depth about some of the injections or that you provide, you know, for IV therapy. Is like Remicade something that you offer?
Yes, we do Remicade. It's a particular biological, so there's a little bit more risk when you receive those types of medications, more monitoring that goes on, so it is a specialty service that we provide.
So let's say if I was a patient in there and I was receiving Remicade, mm-hmm. what does that look like? Am I there for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe an hour?
It can go longer than that, depending okay. on the stepwise infusion, because you introduce it slowly, so maybe you only do 20 mils per hour for 15 minutes, and then you step it up to 30, then 40, then 80, and then you can finally get to 150, so it can be 4 hours.
Okay.
And if you are somewhat sensitive but you need the medication, we might have to do pre-medications beforehand or afterwards.
So let's also talk about, you know, obviously you're doing IV therapy, so I'm sure that you guys are also doing, you mentioned phlebotomy and other things, mm-hmm. but are you helping people, let's say if they have issues with finding their veins in the hospital, do you help with that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So we have our outpatient setting that we provide services to, but we also provide services to all of our acute care patients. So if you were admitted on the med-surg unit and you're very dehydrated, it's hard to find your veins, then we have ultrasound certified nurses who can start IVs using the ultrasound, and they would float over from Unit C over to the med-surg unit, and they could start that IV. Also, if you're receiving a medication that requires a PICC line, we have PICC line certified nurses who can insert, and a PICC line is a peripherally inserted central line, which allows you to receive medications that are too strong to be infused into a small vein. Essentially, it would ruin your veins. And
okay.
so that's when you would need a PICC line placed.
So what would be an example of something or a medication that you would typically use in a PICC line?
Vancomycin. If you're going to have vancomycin for 2 weeks or longer, then we generally are looking at placing a PICC line because it requires a larger vein and a different pH than the smaller veins have. And so if we get patients that, and depending on when we come into their care, if we get patients that are going to have vancomycin, we know it's going to be a long regimen, then we will plan to place a PICC line right away.
And what kind of condition would somebody need to receive vancomycin for?
An infection. So
an infection, okay.
Yeah, it depends on cultures. So if you culture the wound and it goes to lab, it would come back with the sensitivity. And if whatever the culture is growing is not sensitive to a less caustic medication like Rocephin, then you have to bump up to the vancomycin.
Okay. So let's say, you know, if going back to the whole PICC line or vein ultrasound that you do, if I'm in the ER and I know that I'm hard to find a vein on typically, mm-hmm. could I request that service from the ER nurses, or are they trained to do that already?
Yes, you could request that. We do have RNs in the ER that are also trained in ultrasound IV starts, and if they aren't available, then they call us and we come down and we'll do the IV start also.
Okay, and let's talk about IV therapy as far as some unique services that you might offer that someone in our community might not know about or might need that they don't know we have.
Okay, so some of the examples probably of more minor things that people may not think about are allergy shots.
Okay, yeah.
We do Xolair injections for people who have severe asthma. We do Prolia, which is for osteoporosis that people get about every 6 months. And so we had a recent case where a client came in and said, I had no idea you guys did this. I'd been traveling for years to go get this shot. I'm so happy to be able to stay here and get the injection.
Awesome. So yeah. You have services that people can stay in the community that they might not know about, and that is really good to know. So you're listening to Good Health on KOHU. Joining me on the radio today is Elizabeth Speer, Department Manager for Good Shepherd IV Therapy and Wound Care Department. And we just have been discussing a little bit about IV therapy services, and we're going to transition a little bit here now into wound care because that is another specialty service we have to offer. But if you have any questions for Elizabeth, please give us a call at 541-567-6500. And I'd like to talk a little bit about wound care now. So what exactly is wound care?
So the wound care that we provide is dressing changes, monitoring, assessment, and recommendations to the physician, because we do have certified wound nurses that can evaluate wounds. We get people on our schedule, and the wound nurse will do the initial assessment and make her recommendations to the physician. And from that point on, that wound is always followed up weekly by a certified wound nurse to check the progress. If a wound doesn't start to show some sign of healing within a week, then that's an indication that something needs to change. The therapy probably needs to change. So,
okay. So that kind of leads into my next question here. So let's say if I'm a farmer out in my field and I'm putting in a fence post and I get this huge sliver that goes through my hand and I pull it out, and a week goes by and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Should I think about going to a doctor and getting it looked at?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So is that a scenario that actually happens?
Yes. We had a gentleman who spent a very long time actually on the IV therapy side for an infection he got from a rose thorn.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be something pretty simple and pretty small. It doesn't have to be as severe as a huge sliver, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leads into my next question. So how minor of a wound do you treat in the wound center?
It can be as small as a pinhole or as vast as your entire lower extremities.
Wow.
It just depends on the etiology of the wound.
So what would be an example of the contrast there? Because it seems like it's very broad. Obviously, you mentioned a rose thorn is probably a pretty small one. What would be an example of something larger?
So something larger, people who have certain chronic conditions can have a lot of fluid retention in their limbs. Most of the time it's the legs, and the fluid sitting in the legs sets you up for tissue breakdown, and so you get ulcers, and basically the skin will just slough off in large amounts. And so you have to, the challenge is treating the wound, but then also you have to apply compression. So you're like, I'm going to clean your wound and then I'm going to wrap it really tightly. And so a lot of people get really anxious about that, but because that's how they perceive it. But the compression is so essential to the healing that it has to be done. So a lot of patient education and just stepwise treatment. We do one light layer of compression to start, and then that will compress some of the fluid out, and then they get some of that relief, and it gets smaller, and then you can compress a little bit more and a little bit more. And yeah, it's hard to convince the patient that, hey, you have this big wound, and I'm going to wrap it with something after I've just got done dressing it, and it's going to be a little bit tighter than what feels comfortable.
Yeah, just you describing that makes it sound, painful, or, if you're claustrophobic, or, because usually you hear about, when you wrap something really tight, you're cutting off the circulation, essentially. But in this case, you're actually helping it to reduce the swelling, I guess, and help the wound to heal.
Yes, absolutely. And if you talk to some wound care professionals, they would say every wound needs compression. It's vital to healing. So there's some opinions out there in literature and different things on the importance of compression and what it can do for wound healing.
So it's definitely a, I guess, a mode of healing that most of us probably wouldn't think about.
No. Even just when you don't have wounds, I mean, people on their feet all day long, you can get pressure in your legs that causes small damage that you don't realize, and compression throughout the day can actually help keep your legs from being painful or help with preventing varicose veins and that sort of thing. So
are you like an advocate for like compression socks and stockings?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. All right. So what are some other ways that you treat wounds in the wound center?
We have a couple of specialty wound treatments that our nurses are trained in. Wound vacs is one of them. So it's essentially what it sounds like. It is a wound vacuum. You put an occlusive dressing on and it provides suction to the wound, which seems very strange, but it is an excellent treatment. It draws nutrients to the site. It also pulls the cells to grow in that space. Mm-hmm. And you can see lots and lots of progress in just 3 days. It keeps the drainage off of it.
Oh, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
So is it painful? Obviously, it sounds like you're putting suction, like, and I guess I have in my mind pictured a vacuum, you know, sucking, you know, when you put your hand on it, it kind of sucks up, you know, obviously. Is that the kind of vacuum that you're talking about, or is it
a little bit different? It's very gentle.
Okay.
There are different modes. I've done several of these, and I have never had anybody have pain with the application of the suction.
Okay.
So, no, not painful.
Okay. So if somebody, let's say, it's a typical wound, but I guess I don't know what a typical wound is, and you put a wound back on it, how, you said 3 days you start seeing progress. How long does it take to heal? Is the wound back all that you put on the wound, or do eventually you take it off and you start doing other methods of healing?
Yeah, and it really depends on the wound type. And that's the thing about wound care, is everything is variable, because it's not just the wound that we're treating the whole patient. So if you have chronic conditions, that will affect your wound healing.
Okay.
So a diabetic who has a small wound might have a wound back for several weeks, whereas somebody who just had a vascular surgery, maybe an abdominal incision, they might only have the wound back on for 3 treatments, and it's closed it up so much that you no longer need the wound back, and you go to a different dressing for the final closure.
Okay. Let's talk about the treatments. You just mentioned that a little bit. So is it a wound back something that people typically go home with, or is it something that they have to come in for and have the treatment then go home?
So the wound back is placed by us in our clinic, and then they get to go home. They have like a little...
And it stays on.
It stays on.
Okay.
And they have a little carrier case that just goes over the shoulder. It's called an ActiVact, and it's about the size of a small purse, and they just have to carry that around with them for that 3 days, and they come back, and then we change the dressing, and they do it all over again.
Do they have to occasionally ever empty whatever fluid or anything comes off of it?
There is a fluid collection canister on the device.
Okay.
And you can replace that if it becomes full.
Okay. But typically I would assume that your team probably does that most of the time.
Yeah. It's not too often that we get a wound that drains so much that the patient has to change
has
it at
to do
home.
That. Okay. Yeah. So what are some other ways that you use to heal wounds that we might not think about? I know that there's artificial skins and other things that are available out there that I've heard about. Is that something that we use at Good Shepherd?
Yes. So we have a pretty big formulary that our wound nurses are always reviewing to see what is the most up-to-date product, what's the products that are getting the best results, and then we are concise and make sure that if we're going to use that one product, we're just going to use that one. We're not going to have anything that's inferior. Mm. And one of the newest things that we have come across is called EpiFix.
Okay.
And it is, like you said, it's a biological like a skin graft or similar to. And our wound nurses have been working in the last couple of weeks to become experts at placing this. It does require debridement, which is removing old tissue from the wound. And so we have nurses that are certified to do that and to place it, which is something that I think is really great to bring to our clinic, because not a lot of places can actually do that. And we're getting really great results, especially with the diabetic wounds, which are much tougher to heal.
Okay. So you mentioned 2 different things there. You mentioned EpiFix and also debridement. Uh-huh. So are those 2 different modalities of treatment, or do they kind of complement each other and work together? How do you choose what you're going to do, and what is debridement?
Okay, so debridement is just a technique that the wound nurse uses. A wound cannot heal if there is what we call non-viable tissue in the wound bed. So it's either dead or dying, or it's what we call slough has built up onto the wound, and that has to be removed. So it can be with sharp debridement, so it'd be like a scalpel, or we have other methods as well that are more conservative to remove that. But for the EpiFix, it has to be that that sharp debridement. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you typically do that, is the wound, I guess, numbed, or
yes,
you use a topical anesthetic so they don't feel it, or in some cases, can they not feel it at all?
So we do typically get orders for topical lidocaine before doing the debridement. Also, you can do oral pain medication. You know, you plan it and they'll take some medication before they come in or we provide it. If you're diabetic, sometimes we get diabetics who have so much neuropathy that they don't feel anything that we do on the wound, and mm-hmm. so they don't require anything for pain.
Okay. So then when, after you get done with the debridement, how do you determine if Epifix is something that you would use for that versus a wound back versus a Band-Aid, I guess, or, you know, just some kind of other covering that you might use?
So the wound nurse would assess it and decide if it was still going to be a candidate for the placement, which usually they do that beforehand anyway, unless there's a lot of slough, which in which case they probably wouldn't choose a treatment yet. So okay. they've seen the wound bed enough to be able to determine that before the debridement.
I guess kind of a follow-up question to that is, if you are using Epifix, how long in your experience has a wound actually taken to heal when you're using that method?
Recently, I think we graduated somebody after, I want to say on the long end, 3 weeks.
Okay. And is that coming in every day? Is that coming in once a week?
I believe it's once a week.
Wow. That is really cool. And so does that somehow become part of the person's anatomy or skin, I guess? How does that actually work? What does that look like at the end of the treatment?
So ideally, what you'll be seeing is that it will melt the wound and you will see epithelialization. So you'll see islands of skin popping up in the wound after some good granulation has happened. So okay. I know that's very
technical.
A lot of terminology
yeah.
going
sure,
on
yeah.
there. But the wound would fill and you would get skin covering it again.
So would it be like a scab, essentially? Or is it softer than a scab and then it kind of heals over?
No. We wouldn't want to be a scab. So
okay.
we want a good balance between moisture and dryness.
Okay.
So not too wet, not too dry. Have the just right amount of moisture for wound healing.
Okay. And I guess one of my questions that I have for you is, I guess this is probably variable, but how long does it generally take for wounds to heal? I mean, what's the shortest amount of time that it's ever taken mm-hmm. to heal a wound, and what's the longest amount of time?
The shortest amount could be you see us for a week for something and it resolves
okay.
enough that you don't
wow.
have to see us and we can send you home and you could care for it for the rest of the time there, or it might completely close. It depends on the type of wound and how it comes to us. On the flip side of that, we've had people be with us for as long as 3 years. And part of that is the wound type, like with those ones that need compression and getting control of the compression and healing those ulcers. Because once the skin breaks and there's a wound there, it is always vulnerable. So maybe you heal it one time and then they go out and they walk around in a hot day and the swelling comes back and it reopens that same wound.
Mm.
And so getting the right changes all together, not just in treating the wound, but also with what the patient does at home, because things like exercise and a good diet will make all the difference in how fast the wound heals or if they have setbacks in the wound healing.
Okay, and that leads right into my next question here. And it sounds like, so lifestyle and diet and exercise and chronic conditions, if somebody has chronic condition, mm-hmm. it definitely plays a role into the healing process.
Yes.
Okay. So as far as diet and exercise and lifestyle, what do you typically recommend for your patients when they come in so that way they have the best healing experience possible?
So It may depend on the conditions that they have and the type of wound that they have. So for patients who have the leg swelling, one of the things that we recommend to them is to make sure that they're walking and getting exercise
okay.
and getting a good diet and elevating when they can. For, in general, a lot of people hear protein, 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 which is right. Protein is good for wound healing. But overall, good nutritious meals are good for wound healing. So you don't have to have this really unbalanced, huge piece of steak with a couple of green beans to heal your wound. You mm-hmm. want to get all of the nutrition that is available in fruits and vegetables and grains to help your wound heal.
Interesting. You're listening to Good Health on KOHU. Joining me on the radio today is Elizabeth Spear, Department Manager for the Good Shepherd IV Therapy and Wound Care Department. And we were just discussing wound care a little bit and some of the modalities and services that they have to offer for patients there, which is fascinating. We were just talking about biologicals, Epifix, which is a skin substitute, correct? Or is it?
Sort of. It's on a cellular level.
Cellular level. Okay, we're getting pretty deep here. But if you have any questions for Elizabeth, please give us a call at 541-567-6500. And I guess I have a question about our staff there. And what qualifications does somebody need to be able to take care of a wound care or IV patient?
So our nurses have been on the unit for a couple of years, in addition to some of our specialists who have been there longer and have additional training.
Okay.
So we have wound nurses, and then for our IV therapy side, we do have those certified PIC nurses and the ultrasound certified nurses as well. There are different types of certifications for wound care. So a certified wound nurse, which is what we have, goes through university level coursework for some time, and then they have to pass an accredited exam, and then they also have to do intensive labs. And they are the ones that can make the recommendations for the wound dressings and do the evaluations. And then you have wound care associates, and they go through coursework as well and have to pass a separate exam in order to become certified. One has a bachelor's and one can have an ADN. And that gives them specialized wound training to be able to assess wounds and anticipate problems and make changes before those problems happen.
So what is the difference between a bachelor's and ADN?
Sorry, ADN is a 2-year nursing degree.
Okay.
Bachelor's is a 4-year.
Good to know. So, and I guess my other question for you then is, do the IV therapy and the wound care nurses overlap? Do they both take care of both patients, or do they kind of specialize within the department?
So we're a smaller department. We have about 8 nurses full-time, and they all overlap. So our wound certified nurse is also certified in ultrasound IV starts. And so you might see her come down in the ER and start your IV and not know that she's also a wound nurse.
Interesting. Okay. Well, Elizabeth, I want to thank you for joining me on the show today. For those of our listeners who are interested in being treated and being seen, what is the best way to go about doing that?
Ask your doctor. If you have anything that you think that we can treat, ask your doctor if it can be done here at Good Shepherd, because a lot of people don't know that all the things that we do. And the physician can make that referral, and you can be seen at our department instead of traveling the 45 minutes to Tri-Cities or wherever it may be in order to get that service.
So let's say if a patient or a customer is interested in coming to Good Shepherd for either IV therapy or wound care, can your team also help with a referral, or do you prefer them to try to work that out through their physician?
They could call us, but it really does have to come from the physician.
Okay.
But we can talk to their physician if they give us direct information, or if they at least let the physician know, hey, I think that they can do this for me. And if the physician isn't aware of the service, then they can always contact our department and we can confirm or verify whether we can do that treatment.
Awesome. So, Elizabeth, I just want to thank you again for being on the show. And for more information about the Good Shepherd IV Therapy and Wound Care Department, you can call 541-667-3680. Thank you.
Open road, here comes the Hefley family.
You've packed the smartphones, headphones, tablets, water snacks, cooler, sunscreen, bike, skateboards, games, videos, sunglasses.
There's no room for people in here.
Just don't wimp out on the